get it.
We definitely all just clapped, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome. Hello there, guys, gals, and non-binary pals. This is That D&D Podcast, and I'm sure you're getting every audio track synced up perfectly this time. I am Zach, he, him pronouns, your would-be DM, and I am afflicting these fine folks with the rifts. Please introduce yourselves in Discord order, if you would, folks.
Oh, hello, everyone. I'm Adam, he, him. Today, after the lost episode, perhaps, I'll be once again playing Goro, the friendly Knight of the Rose that just wants to do the right thing for all those good people out there.
Shut up!
Shame.
It's not my shame.
Okay, fine.
Hi, I am Jonathan, he, they, and I will be playing Tinkerbomb, who definitely didn't destroy an appropriate number of buildings last time. That didn't happen. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Matt, he, they, also. I am portraying Perdicion, the most reasonable person in this group, and I'm a fucking luchador.
Fair. Shit.
Reasonable's a stretch.
I think reasonable's a word. Reasonable's a word we should excise from our vocabulary if we're being real.
I said most reasonable in this group. Didn't say the scale is very.
Yes.
Listen.
But I'm the most on fire of the people recording this currently. It doesn't really apply.
I mean, if you're a half and everyone else is negative 72, you're still the most positive.
Yeah, it's still positive, right?
Yeah, that's
how something that works. Like
that. Yeah. Yeah, I am Mike J. Darkson Berard. I'm he, him. I am playing Gug, the Vernulian Psy Warrior thing. Gug does not have pronouns, and finds the whole concept of pronouns strange, so it, Gug, whatever. Gug is not from here. Gug is a dimensional being.
Yes, Gug is dimensional being is the Rift's version of alien, since we can't, nothing survives entry through the atmosphere for reasons. Yes. So, yeah, this is our crew. We definitely didn't just have an episode that will probably not see the light of day because my audio screwed up. That definitely didn't just happen. We are going to strike that particular Miami Vice drug bust style fight from the annals of history. It never happened. So we are.
Oh, that's.
It is unepisode.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are unepisoding it.
Gug did it okay.
So that means that the last thing that happened was Gug pursuing a maimed teenager through the back streets of Ironheart / Old Detroit, and then the screen fading to black.
And then we fade in on Gug wiping their face with a napkin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Its face? With its face.
Gug's face. Gug is, yeah. Just Gug has protection from pronouns. They cannot touch Gug.
Gug cannot be targeted by pronouns, damaged by pronouns.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So.
Nothing against pronouns, just no. Yeah.
Yeah, so the sort of what happened before all that broke out, Perdition. Well, most of the group went to go take our defector, Dr. Tower, I believe is her name.
Dr. Tower, yeah.
Dr. Astrid Tower, who had passed out after the combat, during the combat, something like that. She was, she had a hard trip, and she did not take it well. The sudden change to combat well. It was too much stress. So she is unconscious and has been transported to the hideout of your local contacts. And we will start there. I believe Perdicion, in the episode that definitely didn't happen, made the drop. And so Perdicion has been around here before.
Yes.
But I will go ahead and describe some of it to the rest of you. So it's in an old... Remember, Ironheart, this town that we're in, is the old city of Detroit. What's left of it. It turns out that the apocalypse was kind of hard on things. And so a lot of the city is mostly abandoned, but not actually fully abandoned. And the rebuilding has been going on for quite a while now. So
not much has changed.
Yeah. I really don't want to make those kind of jokes about Detroit. Unfortunately, sort of what they left us with. Well, please bear in mind, both players and listeners, that this was written in the 90s by people from Michigan, so they have feelings about Detroit. But yeah, Detroit. The setting of Frisk is post-apocalyptic, right? Or post-post-apocalyptic. Everything went horribly wrong. And then things are kind of coming back to the point where they've gotten to the point where if people don't screw it up, things will be okay, right? The thing about Rifts, though, is that people are constantly screwing it up. And Ironheart / Detroit is a great example of that. Like, it's not back to where it used to be, the city of millions of people with a major manufacturing base and, like, public transit and things like that. But it's, like, livable. There's people here. They're making a life about it. But the place you're going is sort of... All of the where Detroit's been rebuilt is sort of on the outer rim. It's where the old suburbs met the manufacturing areas, right? So where we're going now is a little closer to what's the old inner city that has not been rebuilt the same way. And specifically, the place that you're going, the headquarters of this resistance group is in an old movie theater. And it's the one place in this area of town, which is pretty bombed out. Turns out that demons and aliens invading from other dimensions can do a number on city streets.
The part they never show you in all the superhero movies.
Yes. They rebuilt this old theater, and it is glorious. They've found replacement light bulbs for all the marquees. They've got things painted up, all of that. And the lights are on with the marquees displaying Queen, like the band Queen album titles on the outside. And as you roll up to this area, and the four of you are distinctive visually. So we have one giant with, like, multiple shields and swords because he's got four arms. And we got...
I mean, to be fair, we all have four arms.
It's true. He has four forearms, though. Well, Gug does not have four arms.
They're more four limbs.
In either sense of the word. Yeah.
That's true.
Gug doesn't have...
I was going to say, I have arms, but no, I have tentacles.
Yeah, Gug lacks bones in his in Gug's arms. Sorry, I attempted to gender Gug. That was my mistake.
Again, Doug is not offended. Gug's just confused.
Yes. So, as you roll up, you are... you are met in sort of under the marquee by two members of the Mercurians, is what they call themselves, and they look the part. One of them is in a white wife beater with a gold armband, and one of them is in full on gold a gold suit with the chest exposed. and copious chest hair. And they both have slick back, perfectly black hair, and mustaches so perfect they almost have to be cybernetic.
Cybernetic mustaches.
Yes, one of the nice things about a setting rife with cybernetics is you can do basically whatever you want to with your body. And they rush out to meet you, and they're both armed, and they flag you down. And the one in the white t-shirt addresses you as a collective. He says, "Oh, it's good. It's good you're back. The doctor has woken up, but you're not gonna like this. Please come in." And he looks specifically at Goro. And he's like, "Please duck this time."
Yes, yes.
All right. Well, I suppose we're not going to like it. So there's that out of the way.
All right. So we go inside.
Yeah. So you're escorted in.
You're right.
Past the.
As we
sorry. Please go ahead.
As we step in, I say, "Oh my god, you're right, this is horrible."
And what you're looking at now, so I'm going to come back to that statement because I want to know why. Because what you're looking at now is just the inside. It's like the lobby of a movie theater. They got like the now playings up, and they're like, imagine 1996, right? What movies would have been playing then?
You're
Matrix?
Challenging me. I must go test my knowledge.
Oh no, I have no idea exactly what it would be. I should, but
I think Independence Day is one of them.
Early Matrix? First
Matrix? ID4 was 95. Speed, Jurassic Park, ID4.
Yep. 1996 film. No, Independence Day, there it is. Had it right.
You're right.
Hunchback of Notre Dame, The Nutty Professor, Jerry Maguire, Space Jam. Oh, okay. Yes.
Those all sound like good options. Okay, yes. That's the like lineup behind the thing. There's like the full on ticket counter, the way they used to be. There's like they've got the velvet ropes all set up, right, to direct you around. They also have a bunch of guns laying on top of that counter. So and there are three or four more of these Freddie Mercurys standing behind the counter, ready to take up those arms as necessary. Some of them react a little bit to you as you walk in, but they're all trying to act about as cool as they can. And now that you've seen like half a dozen of them in the same room at the same time, they are all dressed as different eras of Freddie Mercury. They all have the mustache. They all have the hair. They are not all the same gender presentation other than that, but they all have the mustache. They have to have the mustache and they have to have the hair.
I'm just wondering, is there a zombie Freddie Mercury?
Oh God, no. No,
late stage.
They keep him in the basement. So you are waved in, and the Mercury in the gold suit sort of gives the it's okay wave to the more panicky ones behind the desk. And walks you around the ropes and into what obviously used to be a movie theater, right? Into an actual viewing area movie theater. And inside, they've taken out all the seats and it is now a makeshift medical area, right? There are beds sort of in tiers, right? Going down the thing. There are various equipments moving around. There are at least one Freddie Mercury in a lab coat, right, walking around, and you can see on one of these beds is the woman that was that you started a fight in Town Square over, and she is convalescing. She's got an IV hooked up to her. There's like a monitor system next to her. And she appears to, she is not moving as though she is awake currently. the lab-coated Mercury sees you walk in and immediately moves to intercept you, which is a little bit of a workout because it's a movie theater and they have to come up the stairs at you, right? And gets to you and is sort of like huffing a little bit and says, you shouldn't be in here. This is a sterile area.
Oh, well, they told us to come in. Was that wrong?
This one's a woman. She'll look at again, still with the mustache. The mustache is the visual, right? She'll look at T-shirt Mercury and give him sort of a scolding look and say, "This is, please tell me you at least like washed your hands on the way in." And as soon as you like at her, she's like, "Ah."
Holds up mitts that are obviously not washed.
I don't even have hands.
That's true.
Imagine you just like shed your old tentacles and grow some new ones for her.
Oh, that'd be so gross. I love it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's hygienic.
You just mold.
They're just like the tentacles rolling on the floor down the stairs. Your presence here is unsanitary and will be a huge shock to an already challenged nervous system. You need to go. And then the T-shirt Mercury starts arguing with her, like, no, they need to know this. This is important. If they don't get this information now from her, we're probably dead. And this goes back and forth several times. What are you guys doing while they're arguing over your presence here?
Keep walking towards the lady?
Yeah, I was going to say, start inching towards the dock.
Sort of like backing around the conversation.
No, I'm really just going to play to the whole oblivious thing. I'm like, yeah, tell people are talking. I don't really care.
Okay. Well, as you walk over there, she's laying down in this on this bed. And when you first saw this person, they were in the company of Little Bobby and Big Drew, a couple of mercs that got murked pretty hard. But you didn't get a great look at her the first time. And now as you're walking towards her, like, she's disheveled. She's dirty. Her, like, traveling clothes have been taken, though, and she's been changed into something a little bit more conducive to proper medical treatments. And you can see now, like, this person, and obviously none of you are humans. Perdition maybe used to be one. But, like, humans are not as dominant a species as they used to be, but they're still, most of the people you meet are humans. And so you can probably recognize some signs here. This person looks a lot less weathered than most of the people you know. This person does not have a very many, if any, visible scars. Doesn't look like this person's been out in the sun too much. Basically, it looks like this person, your immediate impression is this person has lived a fairly easy, at least physically, life to this point. There are a couple of, like...
So, like, she's like human veal?
Yes. There you go.
Okay.
I'm sure she'd be delicious. We can talk about what that means later, I guess.
Jesus Christ.
As you approach, are you all approaching or just the two that already mentioned it?
Tink's definitely just kind of walking over there.
Yeah, Perdicion's making his way over, making sure the camera crew is kind of keeping an eye on the Mercuries instead.
I was gonna ask where your...
Because that's compelling film.
Where your entourage is, yeah.
They're getting B-roll. Yeah. It's perfect.
They're making sure that, like, you're in frame, but they're catching the argument, right?
Yeah. obviously.
What about Gug and Goro?
Yeah, Gug very obviously goes to the wrong person.
Yeah, there's just a you walk over to a bed, or you slither over to a bed, undulate towards a bed, and you think to yourself, I don't remember her having a mustache, but I don't know how fast those grow either, so
there was definitely hair on some part of their upper extremity, so
the top thing has her hair on it,
as is typical for these.
Right. Which is not a tentacle, I understand.
What about Goro? Goro strikes me as the stealthy, socially adept disengagement kind of individual.
Oh no, I assume Goro's just arguing with the doctor about how the purity of one's intentions are much more important than the sanity, or the not sanity.
Sanitation?
Sanitation, yeah. The cleanliness of one's hands.
So what you're saying is we're going to...
Wow.
Cleanliness is in fact not next to godliness, but faith is.
All right, so what we're saying is we're going to leave 90% of our mass behind, and then just 10% of the mass is going to go and deal with other stuff.
Yeah, right. Yes. Yes.
I mean, we're still connected telepathically, so I'm going to hear everything that's said. It's just... It's meaner if I pretend to not understand what a human is, so...
Oh, hey, when we come up on the person we're rescuing, has she been magic whammied? I'm trying to use my little magic sense thingy.
Ooh, that's a good question. How do you use your... Okay.
I have no idea.
Give me... Well, let me look at your sheet real quick. I think... give me a notice and or, like, a cult, maybe?
Sure.
Pick?
Yeah, unless it's a specific spellcasting role. Yeah.
Why do I have a minus to a cult? Well, there is a spell, but I just don't remember.
Why do you have a minus? You have a minus one to Marts and linked rolls outside of combat. So you're
that makes sense. Okay,
because you're a juicer meathead.
Yeah. No, that checks out. So I have detect arcana, range smarts. Does it give any more information? Use spirit for the roll. See supernatural effects. Learn general information. Looks like I need to get a raise, but whatever. So it sounds like it's a spirit roll.
Give me a spirit roll down.
I can totally do that. I do. 8, which is a raise,
well,
probably.
No, the dice count individually, right?
Oh, that's right. Brain.
Yep, that's okay. So a 5 is a success, though. A 5 is a success. Yeah. You don't... So here's what happens. In what way does your sense manifest? Because I'm imagining you doing something like smelling this person.
Oh, that was exactly what was going through my head, too. Is that I can just smell magic.
Okay. Yeah. You, like, lift yourself up a little bit so you can get a good whiff over the bed, right? And you get two things, right? One, no, she's not... She's not out because of magic. Like, she's literally, like, her system's just stressed. Like,
okay.
This is a fairly soft human that's been through a hard trip and then, like, a sudden, very intensely stressful situation. Like, no. Like, this is just a normal human physiological reaction to the stuff that's happened. You do catch... just a little bit of a lingering malodorous something, and you're suddenly reminded of the same sort of scent slash feeling you got as the smaller individual that was with her at the encounter before they bailed. You got a very similar sort of
My theory is holding true. They were up to magic bullshit. That's my thing.
So yeah, that's what you get from that. And she is otherwise, I mean, I don't know how familiar you are with, like, humans, but she's basically sleeping at this point.
Sure.
As you are sniffing, the Dr. Freddy turns around.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are you doing? Get that man out of my operating theater.
Theater.
As she begins, as she yells, the person in front of you twitches, like they've been disturbed from sleep, and like starts, like that, like I'm tired / my back hurts moan, right?
I shush the doctor for waking up the sick person.
Somehow I think you have caused more of a disturbance with that than we have with our observation.
And then the doctor is not intimidating by you at all, Perdition, and like shoots you a glare that if you did not have mega damaged skin would probably burn right through you.
It's fine. He's not trying to be intimidating. Right?
I know. Just... Yes. Yeah. No. I think. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. But no. He can feel it. He's like, oh. Mm-hmm.
And then she sort of pushes past most of you, and then like stiff arms Tink away from the bed, essentially.
I feel like she tries how much... to.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how much give Tink has.
Yeah, like, I don't think, like, he's not actively being like, haha, no. He's just like, well, what are you doing? Are you lightly pressing my chest? Or head, or whatever? Because I'm about half your height.
And as she does that, the person on the table stirs and begins to, like, sit up. And this whole time, there have been monitors attached to her, and there have been a sort of, like, fairly steady beeping, you know, how those do, right? And then as her eyes open and begin to focus, she starts to scramble backwards on the bed, and the beeping increases in frequency very, very quickly. And then she falls off the other side of the bed away from you, trailing a bunch of, like... leads and cords and hose and tubes and things as she falls off.
It was super nice of her to put herself on my eye level.
Jeez.
Well, right now she's cowering on the other side of a hospital bed from you.
Well, hey, who is your little magic friend?
Doctore, please.
The Dr. Freddy, like, runs over to try and comfort / prevent her from hurting herself. Anybody that wants to actually have a conversation with this person should try, I'm guessing, like, persuasion?
Yeah, persuasion is kind of that.
And there might be a penalty associated here, I think.
One of those persuasive people. Actually, a little persuasive. Took a...
I'm completely unpersuasive. I'm mostly rolling this to see how bad it is.
Okay.
A solid 4.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is probably not going to work with the penalties, but...
Yeah, no, like the minus 2 penalties, she's not buying it. Goro and Gug, you're there while this is happening. What are you doing?
Well, I mean, I could talk to her.
Okay.
But, like... I don't know. Do we need to get information from her, right? Like, we're supposed to, like, check this out or something, the doctor was all saying.
Well, the other Freddy was saying that you need to talk to her. But it's clear that they know what you need to know. It's not clear why they think you need to get it from her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So... Alright, we'll give this a shot. I'm gonna roll first and then go from there.
Okay, see how it turns out.
Yeah, and then, like, we'll see if Gug's just being an asshole or what.
So you have, like, a bonus for interacting with people, right?
and a penalty, right? So Gug is charmingly linguistic, but also mean. So, like...
Okay. Okay, so, like, with a minus two penalty, that's still a six, which is a success. So I'm gonna... I think what happens is, as this nonsense...
So I...
Sorry, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, what we can do is Gug can slither over to the individual who's having a panic attack and wrap a comforting tentacle around them. And then speak to them in quiet, calming tones about how everything's okay, it's going to be okay. And if it's not, and you hyperventilate and pass out, it's okay. We'll still just, we'll just get it from somebody else. So really, I need to get your stuff together and we'll figure it out.
So... as you come over and you've offered this tentacle to lean on, right? Her initial reaction... well, first of all, she's still, like, wired into this thing. So she's got, like, a number of cords and stuff coming off of her. So you sort of, like, slither between those, I guess, as the doc is pulling them off or trying to get them settled or whatever. But as you are saying these things to her, it's clear that she's, like... initially, your presence is not helping. And then, as her eyes sort of start to focus, she's, like, reaching out one of her strange primate appendages and is, like, very clearly marking, like examine, using her finger to run over, like, parts of your beak. And then, like, looking at your tentacles, and you can tell in her head she's, like, trying to figure out what pieces of what animals you're made out of.
I'm all Vermilion, baby.
Yeah, but not to her. To her, you look like some kind of, like, parrot octopus. And she's like, do they have those? Do we make those?
Do we make those?
Yeah, that sort of seems to refocus her for a second. She looks over your shoulder and sees, like, Goro standing there, and there's a shudder, but then she sort of slumps and stops struggling and just kind of goes quiet. There's a good chance this person is on some pain meds that are going to make her not super coherent. She's sort of... you have eyes, right, Gug?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Gug has at least two.
She's going to, like, grab your, like, beak face with both hands and sort of pull it towards her. And look you right in the eyes and say, I think I know the person who designed you.
God?
Which, what is your designation?
Gug.
Is that an acronym?
Yes.
What for?
It stands for Gug is not Gug.
And she's, like, turning your head. She's being, like, deeply insensitive about your personal physical autonomy. Like, she's examining you like you're a show dog.
Right, but I'm not human, right? I'm not even... Yeah, I am a weird interdimensional alien thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm probably used to primates being weird about this. And also, I eat them eventually, so it's not terribly concerning.
Oh, I'll have to show you the bubbles.
Man, I really wish I could dig into meat to primate minds better. How do I spend experience on learning to read people's heads?
I meant to say, probably after last session that definitely happened. you probably can give you an advance. Like every little bit, you're going to get what's called an advance, where you just like, there's a couple of options you get to pick, but one of them is get a new, whatever it's called. New move.
Edge.
Edge. There you go. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I say, hey, look, you know, you seem like you're in not a great situation. I am more than happy to talk to Bubbles. Do we need to bring you back to your shelter? Your place of hovel? What is...
Oh, no, I can't go back there. Is Bubbles here?
Why can't you go back there?
I left.
Well, yeah, we all leave places, but we go back to them eventually. Unless you're from not here like me. Are you also a political refugee / inspiration to the youth?
Yes. And then that's the point at which the doctor has, like, finally finished pulling her IVs and things and looks you directly in one of your sets of eyes and says, she defected. She can't go back. If she goes back, they'll kill her.
And that's bad for primates.
Usually, yes.
Okay.
She does not even, yeah, the doc doesn't even, like, acknowledge the statement. Just keeps, like...
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to keep being...
All right.
I mean, Gug's not clearly being helpful, right? Like, I'm trying to get information, but also being kind of condescending and a bit of a jerk. Fine.
Yeah, we'll cut away from that for a second. Goro. You were over with the other Freddy... Right? Or Freddy's. I can't remember how many they came in with.
Yeah.
And once that whole thing has started sort of shaking itself out, Wifebeater Freddy, the teacher Freddy will basically give you what he understands of the rundown. Right?
Okay.
The doc here was not alone when she came into town. She was with her research assistant, Bubbles Duroc, who is also defecting. Bubbles is missing. And Bubbles was the one that actually made the arrangements. Bubbles is the one that actually knows where the meat was supposed to be. And Bubbles is the one that could potentially blow this whole thing and have the coalition coming down on this place if she gets retaken or talks to the wrong people or whatever, and Bubbles isn't here.
That D&D podcast is released under a Creative Commons 4.0 attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives license. Feel free to share with friends, but don't cut anything out and don't sell our work. Please visit us at thatdndpodcast.com or on Twitch or YouTube at thatdndpodcast. Intro music is Now We Ride, metal version by Alexander Nakarada. Outro music is Shadow Rain, also by Alexander Nakarada. Nakarada's music can be found on freestockmusic.com, on Bandcamp, and on creatorchords.com. Nakarada can also be found on YouTube and Patreon at A. Nakarada. Rifts is a role-playing system published by Palladium Books. Savage Worlds and this game's Savage Rifts combination is owned and published by Pinnacle Entertainment. All other copyrighted content is owned by its associated copyright holder.